Recording.
All right, reconvening the public session of the Oregon Board of Accountancy, May 11th at 8:32 a.m. And we're going to start with the compliance docket.
Everybody's here.
Everybody's here. Oh, can we say who's here?
Sure.
Candy Fromm.
Stuart Morris.
John Lawson.
Nancy Young Oliver.
Deborah Ballure.
Anthony Fromm.
Teresa Gahagan.
Scott Wright.
Joel Parsh, Fortha.
Can't go that fast.
Edgera. All right, so the compliance docket was 18G and it's the lavender.
Yes. So this was how we were saying, instead of them having to do a report every single time, we were going to put it in the spreadsheet, but I think because it's new, we kind of need you guys to sort of point out the ones that you think are, you know, in violation. And then going forward, hopefully, we'll get more used to it and the board can talk them on their own. But you guys can just walk us through what you have concerns about.
Well, first of all, I want to say that sometime between late April and when this document was printed, I found a little tiny mistake on Dan Chapman. On the column, kind of in the middle of the page, it says, if not in compliance, how? And for Dan Chapman, and these are in alpha order, according to last name, it says, did not pay CP. That's not right. He did pay his civil penalty, but he did not do a whole slew of other things, and that I discussed that yesterday in the new settlement agreement. So wanted to point that out. I don't know how that happened. And the only thing that I have a couple of questions, and I was wondering if the board, how I'd like direction from the board. So for Dan Carr, we'll start with Dan Carr. So he's on the second page. And he is not in compliance with the order because of two things. He did not renew his firm by January 1st as required by the order. I sent him a note and he renewed it the date that I sent him the note. Somehow he lost the renewal, something, I don't know. It was the firm renewal. But as soon as I sent him a note, he did renew. Then the second thing is that a few of the payments have been a few days late at times. So like his February payment was 2 days late, his March payment was 3 days late, his April payment was 4 days late, his May payment was timely. So how many days late? Do you want me to continue reporting all these small days late or what?
I'm fine having them reported. Are they generally postmarked by the due date?
I don't know.
Have you looked at postmarks at all? I guess I would.
They're supposed to be received in the office.
Yeah. Ever since they took away our sorting facility or whatever they used to do in Bend, mail to the Portland can take a week to 10 days sometimes. So.
However, with Mr. Parr, part of the problem was he never. Part of the problem of the case, if I remember correctly, was he was consistently missing deadlines.
That was
right to the core of a lot of his problems.
I don't mind letting him know that we care that he's starting to slip. I don't know what other opinions are there.
Letter of concern?
Yeah, you can do a letter of concern and then put in there, you know, if this continues, the board will consider, you know, finding him in violation of.
Do we want to say anything about the firm renewal?
I would put both. We're concerned that you're.
Can we mention in there that it was a topic of discussion at the board meeting? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that he would have even renewed his firm had Teresa not reached out to him.
Which again was a problem.
Right. That's what started it.
With the whole case.
Listen, Mr. Farr, this is the 10th time that we're really, really concerned
about. Yeah. See, that's what I mean.
We're not kidding now.
And maybe that we care about dates payments are received.
So, Teresa's point is that the rule says it's within 21 days. That's what the rule says. It has to be in our office within 21 days. Oh, I'm sorry, you're not talking about like...
I'm talking about Parr's payments.
Oh, the payments.
And in his settlement agreement, it says it actually lists the date that it has to be in our office.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So there's an actual date due.
Yeah. Are these all the orders right now that are active? Define active.
Okay.
So this is everything. This is the universe of orders where they're not complete. So complete would be everything that they had to do, you know, they've done. Mm-hmm. So like, if you'll notice, David Appel, the very first item, he's going to be on here for a while because he's supposed to renew his individual license and firm license timely for 8 years. Uh-huh. And that's going to go until 2024.
Uh-huh. And there's only, I guess my concern was there's only one more yes. They're in compliance.
Yes.
And are there any, so if it's a timeline issue that the order is, like you say, it goes out to 2024, that would be on here. But anything that's been completed is not on here. I'm trying to think of maybe an example. The firm with the, we had come back with Tom Hutchinson with the Muni license.
Of York Wedding?
Yeah. So they're not on here because they've completed all their requirements.
And the what is it, where they had to be, their munis had to be reviewed.
Yeah.
They were absolved of that?
Yeah, because we changed it.
Yes.
But if we'd gotten this in February, before we agreed to change it, they would have been on here or not.
This document, I don't think existed in February.
Right. And I appreciate just that kind of background so I know what we're looking at. But there's nothing...
The other thing that this document represents is all of our AR.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and so really old orders
are also on here.
Exactly.
And there's a 2008 one on here, it looks like.
Right. If those people are revoked, as soon as the write-off policy goes through and we're able to get them through that process,
they'll come off here.
Yeah. So three of these I've already sent the collection letter to them. So once that process ends, they'll come off.
And would that go on here if you sent the collection letter? I know we've got that as a different topic, is AR, right?
So would you like it to see it like completed stuff, like just so that we know?
That's maybe. I mean, if we did something like the settlement agreements we approved here, then maybe next meeting it would be nice to see a few more yeses that's complete. I don't know what other people think about that. Maybe we don't need to track it, but.
Well, to me, if we, like Vaughn, if we write it off, I'm sure this is what's going to happen. We don't want to keep seeing it, because then you miss the scope of what's really happening, what's active and what we can do.
So it's, do you want to see it the one more time when it's complete?
Just the last time.
The last time that it's done?
And it says written off.
Or bad debt, or monitoring period complete.
Maybe it's a separate, big line across, and then these are the ones we finished.
Because right now, this I believe is somewhat.
Then we can see the good work you all are doing. Is kind of what I'm thinking.
Show off all the ones that you're complete on.
Well, I don't want it to be an administrative hassle to report the good stuff, but.
But it would have reported once that it was completed and then would not show up again. It's
and
simply
whether it was completed by going to DOR or completed by the completed.
Those things that are with DOR for collection are still on here.
Yeah.
You can see the column that says collection with.
Okay. Collection. Oh, right there.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a column for that.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And mostly...
And if it's BOA, they're... Well, that means they're in compliance.
Would anyone want to have this include the dollar amount that's still outstanding?
Well,
I guess you do that.
You know, I can, that's a little bit trickier. because we don't really calculate interest but once a year.
Okay.
Because our agency is kind of de minimis as
right.
far as the state is concerned.
That's okay.
Well, I my overall comment is I think this is a great document and a great resource. I'm just wondering if other people might be interested in seeing more on it. If would that be, I mean, too much work? Too much work to have the kind of the completed stuff on here too? Or?
Not at all. Yeah, not at all.
Instead of just deleting that line, move it down to the bottom for one report.
Sure.
No, I think that's part of what we do is
well, then you
see the
can
progress
see
you're
yeah.
making and
well, you can see that what you asked.
We have good news. Good news too. A bunch of no's is
yeah.
You know.
So should we? So we just want to separate active with completed, or
the last
in compliance with not in compliance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We can cash it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll give you
So the other guy that has been a few days late is Pratt, Arthur Pratt.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you look at his thing, so this year, in January he was 4 days late, in February he was 2 days late, and in April he was 3 days late. So shall I send him a letter of concern as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's all I have to say. Do you want to talk about it?
Sure. I have a couple. First one is Patrick Carney on the first page. So he had to do some pre-issuance reviews on the rest of his audits, and then we took away his community license. Part of that was he had to inform, or give us evidence that he informed his clients of the revocation of his community license, and also and like give us evidence that he provided it to the Secretary of State as well. It seems like he did, but he did he did do it, but he did not provide us evidence of that. However, the pre-issuance reviews came back and it looks okay based on their letter.
So just a reminder of what his responsibilities for reporting are to us.
Letter of concern.
Does he have anything else that he has to do?
No.
He's done everything else.
Right.
Is he all done anyway? I mean,
he's all done. Like. Yeah.
He still has a license though, right?
Right.
He doesn't have a muni license anymore.
Right.
But again, I think a letter, we said just a letter to him saying, hey, you did not comply with it, and probably ask him to get that notice to us now.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, it's late, but we still would like to have it for our files.
So we can close it out.
Right.
Anything else on your list?
So on the next page. Michael Nichols, the first one. He was supposed to pay $5,000 in civil penalties within 30 days. He sent in two separate payments, but he did pay the full amount. So he paid partially in March and paid partially in April, I think.
So March payment would have been timely, but he had 90 days to pay it? Is that correct?
Yeah, 30 days.
30 days to pay it, okay.
So
both of them were late. Right. And
but he's all paid.
But he's all paid.
I guess I would still say a letter of concern saying thank you very much, but it wasn't in complete compliance. Just document
active,
the file. Yeah.
Active condition to meet.
Yeah.
What else would we want from him? I mean, if he's paid.
Well, yes. He says practice management.
Okay.
But all these people, like most of the time, there's some sort of state civil penalty as well, so. In theory, if you found them in violation, you could always ask for more money or whatever. But I think it is just, you guys don't seem to normally want to do that, which is fine. But I think it's good to have it in the file so
paper
that if he
file.
Does come back as having more problems, you can be like, this isn't the only problem. It'll just remind us, mm-hmm. too, that he's had all sorts of problems. If he trips up on the practice monitoring or whatever.
And then does this look like, well, it says JP, so did Joel contact Mr. Nichols?
I track it.
Oh, you track
it. I never contact
it. But it says date of follow-up with respondent.
So Yeah, we didn't receive, so we didn't finally receive this first payment, so we sent him a letter.
Okay.
Saying, hey, your payment's due. He ended up making a partial payment after that. A month later, he made the rest of it.
Okay. So you do automatically, it sounds like, step in and do that if they're, well, probably more than 3 days late.
Yeah. We have another system that the investigators use for tracking compliance with the orders. And when something is coming up and the date is missed, we will send out a letter or email or something. That's how we contacted Dan. That's how I contacted Dan Parr.
So my next one is for Linda Shade. She was revoked. So in the terms of the settlement, she had to do all these other things like informing her clients of the settlement and returning her false certificate. She essentially didn't do anything. She asked to have her revocation effective of April. We did that for her, but she didn't provide us with any information or anything after her settlement went into effect.
In that case, did we have any state penalties? Or
we did.
Okay. So it might be, again, a letter of concern saying, hey, get that stuff to us, and don't, you know, oh, by the way, don't forget we state penalties.
How significant were state penalties?
I think everything was state, so the things like 12,000 maybe. 10 to 12,000.
So can we put in the letter that she got 3 days before we're going to assess them? Mm-hmm.
We need to vote that, though, just so we have the authority to do it, because you need to find a violation of the...
Well, the letter could say we'll consider that. We'll not say we would. But I guess in terms of just keep the process moving for Anthony to get a letter of concern out indicating that the board...
And then at the next board meeting, you'll vote?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Because, again, I'd rather get her in compliance. It's not that I necessarily want her money, I just want her in compliance.
Right.
So the only thing she's showing is her wallet card and wall certificate. Is that going to be
left? Well, she didn't tell her clients.
Which is the most important part.
Yeah.
Provide information on the client post.
Telling her clients she's revoked.
Because I don't know where my wallet card is.
Oh, so should we find a violation? It's supposed to be on your person at all times, isn't it?
I had a staple in my chest.
I'm still trying to recover from the state.
So last one, kind of minor, but for Jacqueline Weekly, we had a term in there where she had to notify us of her providing her settlements for a peer reviewer. She said that she's not due for a peer review until later this year, so she hasn't engaged one just yet, so she can't provide it to them.
Although, did the order specifically say that she'll do something, even though it's not due until 18th, did she sign a document that says she will do something earlier than that?
It was supposed to be due to her peer review in 30 days of the settlement, but she doesn't have a peer reviewer, so.
That doesn't
help you.
I'm okay with that one.
One should stay on here. Okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
We can't comply with something we don't have. We have the
you okay with that, Scott?
No.
But yeah. Okay.
And I need a translation. So the column. Type of order. So type of order, SDIP is like settlement agreement, stipulated settlement agreement. CND is cease and desist. FOD is final order on default. That's an order that's issued. You're a lawyer, you know what
this
is.
She doesn't probably do administrative law, though, so it's...
Address change, final order of default. So in the previous administrations, they were, issued a FOD for not timely reporting an address change, like when,
right.
Like when mail was returned and an FOD was sent out,
yeah.
And a couple of people got suspended or revoked because it was so long. Mm-hmm. I think anything else that I think that's about it.
That's what I saw. Thank you for the explanation.
Good on that. Anything else we need to do in public before we start talking about our cases for people who are going to show up?
Teresa's here.
Okay. Let's public session to go into exec session.